Hope you're having a great Friday. We're live at Twin Peaks talking to some of our wonderful listeners. It's funny, Mike, the stuff that stays with people. We talk about so much stuff on this show, right, whether it's personal or otherwise. And a gentleman came up and he says, you're the guy that lost the Zoysia. I'm like, yeah, that story's like 7 years old. Absolutely. So he's like, I remember you telling me you lost your Zoysia and you had to replant. Yes, it was a process, sir. Thank you for bringing back that bad
man,
memory.
He does work in the law and business, Carl. But I remember that's the day, because remember, before we had Barbara Dooley on, we had Coach Dooley on for like
Vince.
7 years.
Yeah.
And Vince, amongst other things, was quite the horticulturist. He had like this amazing backyard with all these different, you know, you name it, all the most exotic flowers and flora and fauna. But yeah, remember, we were talking about you getting the grass, and Vince was on hold. And the coach goes, I don't know, Carl. Sure seems a bit warm to be planting Zoysia right about now.
He did come on and say that. And I was like, Coach, I'm trying to replace my lawn. You know, I'm trying to make sure it gets in. But no, man, yeah, good to see you. Thank you for coming out. It's a pleasure to have you here. We want to see you guys. We're going to be out here until 7 o'clock. Coming up, by the way, we will get to our picks. 3 games against the spread, 2 NFL, 2 college, whatever it is, over under. We'll tell you what we're thinking about the games, and we've got the records up to this point.
You and Chris are doing okay. You're at 500, but I mean, I've heard Andy and Randy and a lot of guys, I know Steak and Drew Butler, a lot of folks are struggling out there as we're trying to get a vibe early in the season.
What was the game you took last week, though, that you said you – what was the game? I'm trying to remember last week, because you said you felt good about it.
Right.
The college game you were on last week, was it – oh,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Kentucky,
I mean,
Georgia.
You know, we know that Kentucky, Georgia, historically, for the last 5 in Lexington have been tight. But Georgia just looked
ready to blow. The number was 20-something,
22
right?
and a half.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you could not have looked any worse against South Carolina. So whether or not Kentucky's players were looking to pass South Carolina or whatever, but, I mean, the offensive line looked terrible. Vandergriff couldn't get anything going. So that's the easiest money I'm going to make. And Barbara Dooley said, don't do it. Don't do it. So sure enough, I took that one in the shorts. And, yeah, I've had some bad beats. Nothing worse than that USF Alabama. That's the one that's really resonating, where they called back the Milrow 74-yard touchdown. But we'll try to find some winners for you. But yeah, you and Chris are at 500. And Orrin and I are bringing up the rear. We're combined 2-10.
All right, man. We'll get to that. Steve Coonan's on the way. We're live at Twin Peaks. Let's talk some dogs. Now, look, the dogs are off this week. They'll play Alabama next week. And trust us, we are going to be all over it. But the pressure now on Carson Beck to come back from that Kentucky game, Mike, and play well against Alabama, I think the rest of the country is going to be watching. Do I think he'll be ready? Yes. Do I know what was going on again that game? No. It was a combination of the O-line not being able to block Kentucky and bad decisions being made, which put him behind the eight ball. But I do think this week of being off and having this prep is great. But a lot of people are talking about the input. How much input does Carson Beck have on the UGA offense? And he was talking about this, Kirby Smart, that is, said there are plays that versus certain looks that he can check to. So they're giving him the leeway, Mike, to check in and out of stuff, where it's not just the play is called and he has to run it. So Kirby said, look, the play comes in, it's a pass, he has to check to a run, he can do all of that stuff. So there is a bigger responsibility with Beck than I think a lot of people assume there is.
And certainly, you know, Mike Bobo has the confidence you just talked about in him. I don't know if they're downplaying the offensive reshuffling with the offensive line, how that affected maybe what Kentucky was getting after it. But just Carson Beck's just got to be better. Guys, we said this earlier, said it last week. Carson Beck's not even remotely considered for like any Heisman conversation.
No.
You know, he's got to be a stud. I mean, everybody at Georgia always wants that Heisman Trophy candidate. But right now, I mean, he's got to be more than just a simple delivery system, Carl. He needs to be a star, you know, for lack of a better word.
I agree with you, Mike. Now, Georgia Tech is playing this week, and Mike, they're on the road.
At Louisville.
They will be against number 19th ranked Louisville. Georgia Tech's 3-1. We know the record, 1-1 in the ACC, but they're coming off of a 59-7 blowout victory. We're talking about, you know, a VMI last Saturday. Yellow Jackets are picked 9th in the ACC to start the season. Listen, I think they're going to exceed the expectations, but tell me Jeff Brohm is not going to have his guys ready up there in Louisville, and
right,
the spread on this, and I just saw, is like 10.
Yeah, and Louisville, it's really interesting. They're 2-0, but they've had a break. Louisville played Austin Peay, and then they played Jacksonville State, so they haven't played anybody. And then they had 2 weeks off to get ready for Tech. So
kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's a lot of time.
It's 10 and a half. Like, I've been up to Louisville for some real bad, again, one of the greatest beatdowns I've ever seen as a fan was when Lamar Jackson put 63 on Florida. I said this before to Chris. It was so bad walking around, like, what was it, 4th Street in Louisville? People aren't even, like, busting balls. They're, like, patting you on the back. Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that bad. So things can get sideways.
That was his Heisman year, right?
Right. And things can get sideways in Louisville. They're drinking. They serve brown liquor in that college game. It's pretty wild. I just wonder, is this gets back to the quarterback play, you know, and getting Haynes King, getting back to doing some of the things he needs to do. They just got beat by a better quarterback, I thought, in Syracuse.
I agree.
Syracuse's game plan, the physicality we talked about, you know, Coach Fram was really just use that motivation, whatever. But Tech, it's kind of like, this is what are you, right? Will the real Tech step up? Because unfortunately, the great win over Florida State doesn't look like anything. Now, Cal might beat Florida State tomorrow night in Tallahassee.
Come on, man. Have some faith in your dudes, man. Come on.
Brother, I went to that game.
Come on, brother.
I'm telling you.
You have no faith? Bro. Cal's going to beat them?
If you can go into Jordan-Hare and whip Auburn, you can't go into Tallahassee and beat a lifeless Seminoles.
You got a point. They're bad.
DJ Uiagalelei is never going to – the only place he's ever going to play anywhere, maybe in Canada, and he might wear a baseball. He's terrible. Anyone who thought that Norvell's the quarterback whisperer, that's the conversation that Wes, the guy that I gave my tickets to, by the way, for Saturday night and I were talking about. You've said it. You brought up a great point. When they're looking for leaders into the Boston College game, you said it. Then you don't have any leaders. It's the culture thing. You know, they've leaned so heavily into the transfer portal. Now the chips are down. Who are the guys you look at and say, we got this? That's why a lot of Florida State fans are saying, look, take your lumps. Maybe you go, you know, six and six, but get the younger players involved and let's build the culture back up.
So they haven't won a game, right? So are we done talking about them this season?
Yeah, they're done. I mean,
0-3, right?
They're 0-3. And Cal, I mean, if Cal, look, Cal comes into Jordan-Hare and was physical.
Yes, they were.
And
yes,
Florida State,
and their quarterback was good.
And Florida State is failing in all four. They can't tackle. When they do make some stops, the special teams was a disaster.
Okay.
Quarterback is ineffective.
Well, we can stop talking about it.
There you go. I'm not going to bet the game.
We can stop talking about
it. I'm not going to bet it.
You're telling me all this bad stuff? Yes, the guy. My man over here is like, the you. Now, they have a quarterback.
Now, and that's a game.
They have a quarterback.
That's a game which I'm going to pick and don't steal it. I'm taking them this weekend over USF.
Okay. No, I'm not. Yeah, that's big.
Yeah, there's going to be probably about, you know, 15,000 Miami fans will make the trip up 75. It's going to be, you know, a big-time vibe at Raymond James. And I think the U is – look, we saw how physical USF is against Alabama.
Yeah.
But we're going to see how good Cam Ward is in this game. But I think the U covers the 16.5.
Very interesting.
The most exciting game of the weekend, if I may.
Yeah.
And I know that you're interested in this, is what is Jackson Arnold going to do for Oklahoma and the Sooners? Because, you know, we've all talked about everybody is going bananas over – say it with me, guys.
Nico
Iamaleava, who's been amazing.
Yes.
And now going into Oklahoma, a team which doesn't look like they're a little offensively challenged, you believe that going into Norman, a 7-point favorite, 6.5 to 7.
Yeah, I'm taking this game. I'll tell you right now, Tennessee is good. This is no fluke. I know there are people who say, I've seen this before, they're good early, and then later in the season they fall apart. I don't feel that way. I truly believe, even last year, if you talk to Tennessee fans, they were waiting for this kid to get his opportunity. And he did at the end of the season, by the way. He did play. But, Mike, I'm with you on that. I think it's interesting that you're going into Oklahoma and you're the favorite. We don't see that. And so that's going to be interesting. Real quick, I was just going to say the Yellow Jackets, they are ranked 36 in total offense. I just want to put that out there when we talk about
– it's the top 50.
Yeah. How much better are they? How much better do they need to be? And defensively, to me, everybody says they're improved. I do think they are, but statistically they're not. Like, they're still one of the worst defensive team units that gives up a bunch of yards and still a lot of points. But it's college football, man.
Big game for Brent Key, though, to kind of reestablish, you know, what you guys are with the physicality and, you know, and take out, as we said, difficult place to play. But Louisville hasn't played anyone.
No.
2 weeks off. All right, two undefeated teams in the Big Ten. Illinois, very quietly, is 3-0.
Yep.
Going into Nebraska, Dylan Raiola is probably the best team he's faced.
I like Nebraska to win the game just because they're at home. But I think people are sleeping on Illinois. We're going to find out how good they are. I mean, this is going to be a tough test. Like, Colorado went in there and got their butts whipped. We realized that's a fluke, right? They're not that good. All the hype, it's all sizzle, no steak with Deion right now, and it's fine. His quarterback is great. He'll be in the NFL. Hunter will be a top five pick. Outside of that, this Illinois team is much better going in there to Nebraska. And the thing about Dylan Raiola, and I know there are a lot of dog fans, maybe you're not mad at him. I don't know. Hell, you're at the number one or two team in the country. You shouldn't be mad at Dylan Raiola for making the decision to go there.
I mean, it sucks how that went down, but who's really surprised at the end of the day?
Correct.
For those who don't remember, three different high schools and then decommitting.
Went to Buford.
And his dad was a legacy at Nebraska.
So, but I was going to say, Mike, he's looked really good. And if you've not watched Nebraska, I would suggest you watch them this weekend. Again, no dogs. If you just want to say, hey, what's that kid that was supposed to go to Georgia? What's he look like? This is a great weekend to do that. Mike, he can throw the long ball. You knew that. He's pretty accurate. And he's not trying to do too much. They are running the football. And guess what else they're doing? They're playing defense.
Right.
Their defense is really good.
How about being an 18.5-point favorite in your own conference? That's where the Wolfpack finds themselves going into Death Valley. That's a noon game up there in Clemson. Clemson, a minus 18.5 against NC State. It seems a bit rich, doesn't it?
It does seem rich.
Although NC State, you know, does look mediocre. 2-1. Obviously, they were throttled by Tennessee in the kickoff game in Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm also curious to see what this Missouri team does, man. Laugh if you want to.
Right.
Vandy at Missouri, okay? Vandy has shown that they're physical. They're well-coached. That's going to be an interesting game. I thought Mizzou kind of just escaped last week. I really did.
Right.
That's going to be an interesting game in the SEC as well, as we go around college football. Again, no dogs this weekend, but there are some big games. And I don't even want to bring up the number one team in the country because we know they're going to roll.
By the way, USC going into the Big House. Now, is this where USC stops Michigan in similar fashion to Texas?
Yeah.
USC, as you guys know, beat LSU. USC smokes Utah State 48-0. So those are the two games that they've got on tape, and now a 5.5-point favorite going into the Big House. I mean, if USC continues to score at that clip, Carl, there's no way Michigan can keep pace. Not with that offense.
No, I agree. And
Miller Moss
is really talented.
You need to look very closely at this game.
That's
Should I order a pack of Trojans?
That's the quarterback at USC. All right, we'll come back. We'll find out. Maybe you can get some winners this week. We'll try to get some for you guys. We will give you our picks coming up. It's Orn, it's Chris, Mike, and I. We pick against the spread, and we'll tell you who we like. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
USC. I'm going to take USC minus 6.5.
All right, so I'll tell you, it's not a secret because Lincoln Riley has talked about
this.
Well,
hang on a second. I got it at 4.5.
Done.
Whoa. What service is
Thank
that?
Thank you, my friend.
I got USC minus 4.5.
Thank you, Dr. Acavado.
Time out. I got to see this. Hold on. Four.
Let me get
ESPN bet.
Yep. It just dropped. Vegas Insider.
Wait a minute.
Vegas Insider's got it at 4.5.
Hold on, Mike.
Yeah, it's
Thank
four,
you, Chris.
4.5.
I loved it at 6. I want to marry it at 4.5. So, yes, pack of Trojans, dial me up. Going into the Big House.
I was going to say Lincoln Riley talked about this. Not only did they get new coordinators as far as on the defensive side, they looked better.
Right.
Mike, they brought in nutritionists and strength coaches, knowing that they were going into the Big Ten.
Right.
That is not a Pac-12 USC team.
Right on.
It is a team that is built for the Big Ten. To your point about the physicality, and that's why they've held up so far. We'll see if it happens throughout the course of the season. What else you got,
In the words of Homer Simpson, justify my love. Yeah, so I'm going to stick with the Hurricanes, though, minus the 16. Is it 16, Chris? Is it 16.5? This is against USF
in
Tampa.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yep.
That is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of points.
Okay.
But I just feel that Cam
Ward's
going to –
he's a dude.
I think he's going to light him up.
He's a dude.
And then finally, I'm going to go with the Seahawks minus 4.5. In the NFL. I just think, you know, when you looked and you and I were talking about this off the air, good team, bad team, Carl.
No, you know? I'm sorry. I've got former Steelers texting me saying, get off of my Steelers. I hear you, man.
Again, it's for those who we've been talking about this earlier, it's our patented way of picking teams, good team, bad team. See, Miami doesn't have a quarterback right now, and Seattle's at home.
Skylar Thompson, don't disrespect Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, the magic in Geno Smith's arm. So, again, I got Seahawks minus 4.5. The big bet, the dangerous one, is the Hurricanes minus 16.5, and then USC minus 4.5 with the assist from Chris.
I really like your Seattle pick.
Right.
Everybody's not talking about how good their defense is. Mike McDaniel went over there. He was at the Ravens. They're DC. Mike, the Seahawks have one of, if not the best defenses here to start this year.
Right.
That is their strength. So to your point about Skylar Thompson, I think they're going to shut him down.
Oh, this is affirmation from a certain friend of ours who's very vested in Miami.
Yeah.
The SI computer model has Miami winning by 20.5.
Oh, there you go.
So there's some validation on paper.
All right.
We'll see what happens on football field.
This is our pick segment, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Steve Kuhn is on the way. We will talk more about the Falcons and what they need to do on Sunday. We'll go behind enemy lines next hour as well. Matt Derrick is going to join us. He covers the Chiefs. What do they look like coming in here on Sunday? Stay tuned. That's all on the way. Chris, Turtle, what are your picks?
Well, I'm on this train, too. Give me the Vols, -7 versus Oklahoma,
See,
man.
I'm off of it now. I'm done. I'm not picking that game.
Well, why? Me and you were the ones.
Oklahoma, where the wind rushes.
Oh, don't you dare.
Wait, why, Carl? Me and you were the ones who were actually picking decent, so if you're going to ride.
Well, you know what, though? When everybody's jumping on this Tennessee thing.
Sing it in the bar. O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A-O-K.
I just want them to humiliate Oklahoma, and then we do it the following week. Go ahead.
Nico, I am a Leva.
Yes, he's nice.
All right. Give me Tampa with a big win over Denver. Bo Nix stinks right now. They're 6.5.
Are you picking with your heart? I mean, come on.
Picking with my heart.
Denver is desperate.
If I was picking with my heart, I would have taken the Jets last night.
Denver is dangerous.
See, I should have taken. Why didn't I? You talk. See, this is where his negativity creeps in. Last night, if you heard the show, we're at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. I'm all over the Jets. I go, man. You said, what's your gut? I go, Jets. And then Chris starts with this, man. Typical, like, Jets.
He took the Jets last night on the show, guys. He actually took the Jets.
Yeah, so there you go.
You did what?
Give me the okie doke, you turd.
And what did I tell you? I was like, should I go with the Jets?
I had an extra 30 minutes to think about it, and I took the Jets.
I was going to call our boy, you know, and I talked myself out of the friggin' Jets. That was money won, man. Easy.
I don't know why Oren wanted to admit that, because you know why? He took the Patriots. So that's not on me.
Whoa.
That's not on me.
Hey, we all make mistakes, man.
Yeah, it was 7.5.
The storyline was the Patriots defense was going to get after Rodgers. Never happened.
They're going to run the football. Neither things happened.
And by the way, I know it's ego sidebar, and guys, you know, they want to be protected, but wearing the protective helmet looks silly. It looks so weird when you have one guy who's got like a sock on his helmet.
It looks like kazoo.
But I just don't know. I don't know how much. Again, what are we talking about? A quarter inch of cushion?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I just don't know how much more that's going to help.
Foam pushing for the concussion.
We got to get through this because I got to give you mine. Go ahead. So you got Tennessee.
I got Tennessee -7. I got Tampa Bay -6.5 versus Denver, and Buffalo's only -5 against Jacksonville on Monday Night Football at home.
No.
That's the Monday Night game?
Yeah.
Jacksonville's been listless, lifeless, flaccid.
There's two Monday Night games.
Correct.
There's Washington Bengals and Jaguars Bills. But the Bills are only -5 at home versus Jacksonville. Right. That's easy
money. Any injuries on Buffalo?
None that are that concerning. Right. I'm not worried.
Carl, what you got?
All right. Real quick. Review. Tennessee
-7. Tampa Bay -6.5. Buffalo -5.
All right. I'm going to make this real easy. The University of Texas Longhorns have not been #1 in the country since 2008. They currently sit at #1, and they are starting a young man named Arch Manning.
Yes.
If you didn't think it was his coming out party last week, just wait until Saturday. Horns roll 44.5. That's jump change.
Oh, my goodness.
Against Monroe?
Absolutely. It's like Arch may have 5 touchdowns in the first quarter.
It's like beating up a girls' school.
Hey, we just play who's on the schedule, Mike.
All right, man.
Don't be upset at us.
Wow.
Give me Texas, who ran up 614 yards against ULM last week. What a joke that was. I also like, wait for it, the Falcons to cover the 3 at home.
Oh, he's going there.
The Falcons to cover the 3 at home. Who's with me?
The bar's with you.
Who's with me? Rise up. We are going to be in this game on Sunday, and I have us winning. That's just me, but 3 points? Come on, man. I'm taking our Falcons. And last but not least, I really like the Saints, but you know I can't do that. You know I can't do that. So I'm going to go with Arizona.
Yeah.
Getting 3 at home against the Lions, who are going on the road.
Right.
They have struggled. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a stud.
Can Hutchinson get to Murray?
Question.
Right.
You know the deal. Run around.
Marvin Harrison had enough stats for 2 games in the first quarter last week for
Hutchinson
Arizona.
Had 4 sacks.
I like Arizona at home to cover the 3. So, again, Texas, hook them. I like our Falcons, and I like Arizona on Sunday. Those are our picks, guys. Coming up, Steve Coonan's going to join us.
Yes, I am.
We're going to talk to him about the great Arthur Blank being honored this weekend.
And exciting tips to spice up your tailgate.
And a charity event, too.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Coming up, 5 o'clock hour, you're going to hear from Grady, Drake London. By the way, this is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. And also next hour, we're going to go behind enemy lines and talk with Matt Derrick, who covers the Chiefs as we get ready for Sunday night. Steve Coonan is here, Hawk CEO. Steve, we had Arthur Blank on yesterday. We replayed it today for our listeners, and he's going to be honored going to the Ring of Honor on Sunday. I'm just curious. You've been in this city a long time. You know everybody. You've done a lot. What does Arthur Blank mean to Atlanta?
Oh, I mean, I think he's been a giant in multiple cases, from the millions of jobs created and the value and wealth created at Home Depot to taking a pretty morbid Falcons franchise and turning our city into a destination for all kinds of places. I think the Atlanta United has been probably the most successful expansion team in the history of sports. So his resume is long and written with brilliance.
That's a good way to put it, man. Yeah, we talked about it, Steve. You know, the vision going all the way back to when, you know, no disrespect, but the Smiths just were the Smiths. It was kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies. But when Arthur takes over the Smith family, you know, getting those tickets down to $10 in the 300 level, getting a whole new, basically a whole new generation of Falcon fans, which coincided with the arrival of Mike Vick, which kind of, you know, really did kind of energize the fan base.
Absolutely. I mean, everything they touch, you know, worked really, really well. And I just think he's done so many innovative things. And I'm not sure people really understand how incredible the Atlanta United is. I mean,
right.
Most soccer teams are playing in custom stadiums of 21, 23,000. He's playing in a giant stadium and has 70,000. He, you know, and an owner's job is to hire the right people. It's to put the right people in place. Arthur's not sitting in meetings, you know, making small and tactical decisions, but he put the right people in leadership, and the rewards have been awesome, you know. So, well-deserved. Not sure what free Cokes and hot dogs mean to celebrate, but hey.
It is Steve Coonan, Hawks. Yeah, no doubt. Hawks CEO. I do want to mention something that you guys are doing, because it's always about giving back to the community, and that is the Million Meal event that you guys have been coming up. Chris is actually, our producer is going to be out there broadcasting at State Farm from 12 to 4 on Saturday. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite things of the year. When we reopened the arena, we were looking to do something that needed to be done in Atlanta, and that was to help food insecurity. It's hard for a lot of us, especially us hefty boys, to imagine going to bed, you know, hungry because you can't and don't have the resources to eat. So partnering with State Farm, we put together a program where we have 6,000 volunteers come to our arena, and we pack over 1 million meals of shelf-stable food that's all used and donated in Atlanta. It's a party. Players are there. DJs. It's great team effort. I've been in charge of sealing bags of rice and probably the easiest job because they're scared I'll screw something up. But it's so much fun to work on the line with all the different people. And then you have an incredible opportunity to give back to your city, to volunteer, and to really, really have a good time.
Chris, real quick, we got a website, by the way. If people want to get involved, I know it's never too late, I presume, or if you want to just get down there and get involved with the entire
team. Yeah, you can just go to statefarmarena.com.
That was easy. It's our man, Steve Coonan, everybody's favorite CEO. The kids call him Puffy K. Joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. All right, Stevie, we got a very strange Georgia game. I know you're a Georgia alum, proud Georgia Bulldog alum. I know it's always weird. Barbara Dooley said it's always strange when Georgia plays Kentucky, but that was a big lackluster. And now they've dropped the number two in the nation.
Well, that's okay, because it only matters at the end of the season. And as we said on this fine program, it was going to be closer than the experts thought. We do always struggle up there. But I thought Kirby's post-game remarks on the field right after, back to ESPN, recounting the Missouri close contest, down 10-0 at Auburn at the half. I'm not telling you he does that on purpose in any way, shape, or form. But I think Kirby Smart has had one of the great weeks of his coaching career, being able to just knock all the arrogance and satisfaction off the players by showing them that they almost lost the game, which, you know, I don't think they were supposed to lose. And I think going into Alabama tomorrow, it's probably the best thing that Kirby could have wanted.
Yeah, bye week this week, next Saturday, Bama. I agree with you. I mean, like, the timing of it is almost perfect as far as being able to kind of regroup and do all the things you want to do. Steve, I've known Adrian Wojnarowski for 20-some-odd years. Matter of fact, I used to call Adrian. He'd come on anytime, and then he got to a point where he said, I can't come on anymore because he was so busy. He retires from ESPN, and I know you have a great relationship with him. What's he mean to the NBA stepping away? We don't know who's going to step in and take that spot. But we talked about this week. I mean, to go to St. Bonaventure, I know that's his alum. You know, his school. To be the general manager, which is sort of a new position in college sports. But what does this mean as far as Woj and the Woj bombs that we got so used to over the last, 15 years?
You know, Woj is a very close friend of our family. My son represents him as his agent, along with others at CAA. And this came as a public surprise, but this has been going on, and the conversation's been going on for a while. And, I think you guys and I have the luxury of basically working, a schedule. There's a lot of hours involved, and, it's not always peaches and cream. But he literally was on call every minute of the day, And if you recall, in the last 5 to 7 years, the NBA off seasons become almost as interesting as the in season.
True.
And at a point in time, I think he looked at his wife. I think he looked at what he cares about. And he's deeply religious, cares about St. Bonaventure. And he's made a lot of, financial gains. And he just said, this is what I want to do. And I find it so astounding that he told the truth, 100% transparent. And people can't really accept that, because the money was real and the money was big. But he's closed that chapter and he opened another one. So I really admire that. I truly, truly do. From a league standpoint, I'll tell you a little secret. So I've been in the draft room now for the last 10 years. And Woj was getting the picks and releasing them before any of us knew what was happening with other teams. Before the commissioner announced them.
It's incredible.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. And Steve, to your point, I mean, again, some people are going to say, well, teams are telling – what Steve is telling you is he's so connected – that he had the insider information to run with it before the picks were made.
Right.
And that is just uncommon, guys. I mean, the odds of him being wrong on that, and he was never wrong. So I'm with you. I mean, like, that's the part where I admire his work ethic. And for those who know the work that he put in, and you do, and that's why I'm asking you about this, it's incredible, man. So we talked about it.
The other thing about him is we talked about most of the stuff we talked about, if not all, was off the record. He is so bright and so brilliant and understands the people. He understands the business. He understands so much of the NBA that he would call just to check in and have a conversation. It'd be the highlight of my week, And obviously, when you have family representing him, I had to be super careful. I never talked about anything, because I didn't want to get that side eye. Well, how the hell did Woj know that? Trust me, there were some, uncomfortable moments. But he had almost like the world's greatest detective, built sources, built information, had intuition, and he was rarely, if ever, wrong. And I think our sport will miss him. I'm not sure there's a successor, and I don't think there is. And I'm not sure how important having a successor is, because information comes out so quickly now, direct to consumer, that it can come from 100 sources versus one. But, yeah, hell of a job, man.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a Steve Kuda, the Hawks CEO, and, again, a former TV executive, the number one TV show on the planet, Sunday Night Football, coming to Atlanta. What's your feeling for Sunday night, man? Obviously, Monday night was about as great as it gets for this team.
Monday night was surreal. You're sitting there, you go, did that really just happen? Philadelphia, It's so interesting. If they would have handed the ball off twice, we probably couldn't have come back and won. You know?
Right. Well, hey, man, we're excited that I just thought you'd expand on the thought, Steve. It's okay.
No, Steve, I'm getting ready to.
This is called the prequel.
No, because I said to Arthur Blank yesterday, we don't win games like this here in Atlanta. We don't do these things. It was 6 years since last time we'd come from behind on a touchdown last minute.
Yeah, but what I think it does is gives us an incredible amount of confidence going into the
right.
game against the team who seems to do what we did last weekend, and that's find a way to win. I haven't missed a Chiefs game in years, and you watch the last 2, 3, 4 minutes of those games, they're winning with virtually improbable odds of winning. Fourth and 16, three men rushed, eight men back for Cincinnati, and there's a PI that allows the drive to go on, and Buckner kicks the field goal. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we did last week, so maybe the mojo stays with us. I think it'll be a really great game. I'm hoping that the city shows up. We have all of our players going. It's going to be a real outing because everybody wants to go see the game. So downtown should be alive. It should be electric.
We are how far away from camp? 2 weeks? How far?
We start on the 30th. So media day is the 30th. And hope to see you guys there. And then they're going to the beautiful. We're sending them to Athens. I think some of them are hoping it's Greece. They're going to be a little disappointed when they find out it's Georgia on a bus. Some of the international guys, this is amazing. We're going back to Europe.
Reese, I say. It's like, we're going back home.
Who knew you could take a bus to go to Greece?
Exactly. I don't have the heart to tell them.
Oh, well, listen, the point is, guys, we're a few weeks away, and then believe it or not, October, man, preseason games for the Hawks, and then we get into the season. Steve, thank you. As always, go Falcons, and we will talk to you next week. We'll start to gear up a little bit more for some NBA conversation and things, but great stuff, man, and we hope the Falcons are able to get another dub this week.
And let's not forget, our Braves need to win a few games this weekend.
Oh, brother, it's going down to the wire.
October fun.
Right.
Down to the wire with your miserable Mets, Mike.
Right, they're seeming to hit now, but is it too little too late? We're going to find out.
All right, Steve Coonan, we'll have a great weekend, man. Thank you so much.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coming up, Kirk Cousins, our quarterback, talks with Arch.
That's my quarterback.
You'll hear what he says heading into Sunday night's game at Mercedes-Benz. Mike, the roof is going to be open.
As Michael Jordan said, the ceiling is the roof, but there is no roof on Sunday night.
All right, stay right there. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.